So I'm here with Andrew Pope. Yes, the Pope. Interesting fellow. He's a volunteer at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. He's actually considered to be a scientist, and he works for the National Academy of Sciences. If you've ever been to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, right across the street is a guy named, statue of a guy named Albert Einstein. And a very bright individual. Maybe you've heard of him. Maybe you haven't. But so there's a statue there. So the memorial was built in 1982, and that's just about the time that Andrew got his job there and completed a great career. And now he's enjoying himself and the world of boating. And next thing you know, he'll be taking up golf. So, Andrew, why don't you tell me what happened when you got out of high school? What'd you do?
Well, my best friend at the time, a guy named Mike Hennessy, and I decided we wanted to do the old Route 66 thing and travel cross country. So we headed out to California. We got as far as New Mexico before we kind of ran out of money. Landed there for a month or so, worked in a place and made enough money to get the rest of the way out. And we were, so yeah, we learned how to surf and everything was, all of the Vietnam stuff was starting to, was cranking up. We came home in the fall and the rest of our group was signing up. Most of them were joining the Marine Corps on what they called the buddy plan. And they said, come on, Pope, come on, Hennessy, you know, join with us. And both of us said, you know, we're your buddies, but I don't think I want to do the Marine Corps. So Hennessy joined the Army for 4 years on thinking he would do missiles. And I got into an Air Force Reserve unit, which then allowed me to go to college while I was, you know, also fulfilling my duty, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, Freud said, or somebody said, know thyself. And the Marines are not for everybody, but, you know, if you really have the fighting spirit and, you know, you just want to do it, you're kind of made to be a Marine. you go to the recruiting office, the next thing you know, you're on your way to some Marine base.
Well, you know, it's funny. I always felt still do to this day, a little guilty about not having gone with them. They, of course, don't hold it against me and tell me I'm crazy, but there's a certain amount of, you know, guilt about not having gone along with them and actually gotten into the fight. But I deal with it.
A man of your intelligence maybe could have turned the entire war around.
Oh, yeah.
Resulted in an American victory.
I would have made a huge difference.
They have baseball teams now and everything. Hot dogs. Maybe be on the way to statehood. I mean, so you're right across the street from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. I guess the people who work at the National Academy of Sciences must have said, gee, there's a lot of people across the street, isn't there?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was actually there with all these friends that I mentioned and, you know, several tens of thousands of others at the dedication. And it was a wonderful day. And I'm actually unsure about that, I guess, a little bit, because I didn't actually start working at the academies until the end of 82. So I'm thinking maybe, was the 84 dedication when they added the three fighting men, was that also a big event?
That was very big, yes. President Reagan was there.
Okay, well, maybe that was the one that we all went to. I mean, I have pictures. There were lots and lots of people there. And I remember when they were building the wall and I was, you know, in across the street, I would come over and sort of inspect things, but you know, how you kind of peer through the hole in the wall kind of thing.
Yeah. So you find yourself on your way to retirement and you decide you're going to put some time and become a volunteer at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. I'd like to ask you what led you to want to do that. And tell me some of the experiences you've had that have really made an impact on you.
Yeah, well, you know, I would go over to the wall every once in a while when we had meetings in that building, you know, lunchtime break or whatever. Sometimes if it was convenient, I'd step across the street and, you know, pay my respects, so to speak. And one day, I guess it was in the spring, just before I retired, I was at a meeting in the main building and walked across the street and ran into a volunteer there who I got to talking with. His name was Jim Jenkins. And I don't know, he said, well, you know, maybe you should think about volunteering when you retire. And I actually hadn't thought about it until that point. So
well, Jim.
He connected me to the Park Service. And, you know, next thing I knew, I was signed up to be a volunteer. And the weird thing about that, actually, Jan, was that the first day I sort of officially showed up as a volunteer was a day after Jim had had a heart attack and died.
He died.
To find out.
That's right. Yeah. He lived in Harpers Ferry, West Virginia. He would take the train to and from there. And he was in excellent shape. He was always walking several miles a day. He just died from a heart attack.
It was so weird because, you know, I felt like, oh, well, I guess he really kind of handed over his spot to me. So I feel a certain responsibility to, you know, try to follow in his footsteps. I know he was a dedicated, was great guy. And, you know, he knew a lot about the wall. He told good stories. And I do feel like in some ways I'm sort of in his spot.
Well, I think that God wanted you to be there.
Now. I'm not going to go that far.
His will, helping the veterans. Tell me about some of your experiences, if you could.
Oh, gee. It's so wonderful. It's like every time I go there, it's you meet people, obviously, and sometimes some of them are really make an impression on you. I don't think I've ever been there on a day when I didn't meet somebody that, you know, I felt like I connected with and, you know, help them connect with somebody on the wall. That's what we're there for. It's a great opportunity. It's a great experience. I've only been doing it since last summer, but some of the things that stand out in my mind are, I don't know, there's individual experiences, but then there's sort of the big groups of, I was thinking about this morning as I was just getting ready to have this chat with you, the kids that come, you know, the grade schoolers that come and the middle schoolers who have done some preparation as an assignment or whatever, you know, and they'll come and they'll have, sometimes they have pictures they've downloaded from the website or, you know, from the wall of faces, or they've done a little research and they've made a, you know, and laminated a piece of paper with a thank you note on it and that kind of thing. And they leave it at the wall. It's good. You know, it's really good to see that kind of thing. Nice that people think about coming there, I think, and doing that. And the kids come up and they say, are you a veteran? You know, thank you for your service and all this kind of stuff. And it's not just, I don't know. It's not just a throwaway thing. I mean, they feel it feels sometimes like they really mean it. It's good.
Yeah. Groups, I enjoy giving little lectures to groups of kids with their teacher. And, and I talk to them about, you know, this is an American dream. This was my American dream. And, you know, think about your own American dream and remember the people who serve in our nation's wars and in the military. So, but I find that when people come to the memorial wall itself, they're somewhat overwhelmed by the emotion.
Yeah.
They see people there who are, you know, leaving a candle or whatever for their father or grandfather. Uncle, that's so just seeing all of that and feeling the power of the emotions that are at the wall, I think makes people behave better and be kinder to each other. Mm-hmm. And I've recommended many times people, if you want to do something really fascinating, get to the Vietnam Lincoln Memorial. Get there in the morning at 7 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Nobody's mm-hmm. there.
Yeah.
You and a park ranger and a park policeman somewhere in the, on the roof with a telescope or something. But basically, a lot of dramatic and beautiful things happen. By 8:30 or so, you'll get a few visitors to the Vietnam Wall, walk up to the top of the Lincoln Memorial, and you'll just see these people coming, mostly American, and also tour groups. I've spoken to tour groups from Italy, tour groups from Germany, tour groups from Chile, tour groups from Argentina, from all over the world. When they come to Washington, D.C., it's like coming to Paris. See the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
For these visitors from other countries, when they come to Washington, they have to see the Vietnam Veterans.
It's such a solemn place, and it's just so unique. You know, it really is unique, and in so many ways, both its design, but just also in how it was built. You know, all that you had to do, all that you did to make it happen, you know, is also, I think, a unique story. And I love it when you're there because, you know, you can say to visitors, you can say, and the guy who actually thought of doing this whole thing is sitting right over there, you know, or standing right over there in the corner. Wow, really? He's the guy? You know, it's really pretty amazing. I mean, I had that same feeling the first time I met you. I remember that first day, or no, maybe it wasn't the first day. One of the first days I was volunteering, I was supposed to meet another guy there who I hadn't met before. His name was Hank. And I was over by the West Wall, and there was this guy walking down the East Wall. He had a yellow visor on. And I said, well, that must be Hank. I went over and I said, hey, are you Hank? And he said, no, I'm Jan Scruggs. I'm like, oh, well, gee whiz.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you.
Well,
it's great that you go so often down there, Jan. It's really good.
Yeah. But here's my kind of scientific background. It's more from the field of medicine and psychiatry. It's a guy named Carl Jung. He was a protege of Sigmund Freud. Sigmund Freud was a very famous atheist. Carl Jung believed in religion, but in a very dynamic way. You know, he said every society has archetypes. You know, the archetype of the returning warrior who shed his blood to help save the nation. That's an archetype. So the theory was that by placing the names on the memorial and announcing that we were going to do that, the Jungian idea of the societal archetype would carry the day. People would send money in to get the names up on the wall. And basically it worked. And we raised, you know, everybody sent in $20 or $15, thousands and thousands of people. And we raised all the money we needed, raised $8.4 million. The actual construction cost of the memorial was approximately $4.4 million. And so... Now they're putting up the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C., and they say, well, we need it. Now the Global War and Terror Memorial, they say, well, we need a minimum of $100 million.
Wow. Jeez.
I built one for $4
million. Wow. Yeah. That was a bargain.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, really.
But, you know, one of the things that always strikes me or that sticks in my mind about the visitors to the wall, they'll ask how many names are on the wall. You tell them 58,281. And people are always just in awe. It's like, really? That many? I mean, it's that, I think, if nothing else, the fact that people get a, excuse me, a sense from visiting the wall as to, you know, how many people died there. and how many people die in wars? You know, sometimes they'll say, well, how does that compare to World War II or Korea kind of thing, and in terms of numbers? And it's just, you know, it really gives people that sense of sacrifice and how, you know, how many people die when they go off to battle like this. It's stunning. It's impressive. It's something that you don't forget. And you know, and you layer on top of that the reflectiveness of the black granite, you know, where you can actually see yourself there, you know, or you're looking into the wall, and it's this visionary sort of accent to the whole thing that is just, I don't know, part of the whole gestalt.
Well, we need to thank Maya Lin for that. She's a woman from Athens, Ohio.
Yeah.
Won the largest design competition held in the history of the entire world.
Yeah.
And she just had this very simple yet powerful idea of using the verticality of the Washington Monument and Lincoln Memorial and just using the earth. And this would look like a rift in the earth, a wound that's healing over time. So healing over time, well, we've had so many dramatic and insightful minutes talking to each other that I'm just overcome with grief. And also my 20-minute limit is here forever.
Oh, geez, I was going to tell you some more stories.
For a living. Hey, you know, it's a hobby. Well, we want to thank you. And if you have any final words for our vast audience, you can say them at this time.
Well, I would imagine anyone who's listening to this is probably interested in coming to visit the wall if they haven't already. And I think that it's something that everyone should have the experience of doing.
And they can meet you.
Huh? Yes, and I would love to meet you. Yeah.
Bye, everyone.